been reasonably handled by the press. I don't anticipate any serious trouble in the near future, although I think Fulbright and Gore in particular will continue to try to mislead the people as to what actually happened. Gore in particular was violent in his criticism of the whole affair. But for the minute, the debate is stilled, I think. Unless you feel we ought to be doing something more, I'm just going to let the matter drop for a while.
Sure, I'd try to prepare Dean. I've got that thing worked out, I think, with a minimum damage. I think he'll have to have 5 or 10 minutes with each senator. They will establish that rule, and then if he just says he wants to talk about that in executive session, I think he can get rid of anything that's interesting or dynamite. Maybe the TV won't play it up much. What is Gore's basis? Does he have one thing that he hangs it on to besides his just intemperance?
No, he's just intemperate, and I think his real objective is to disassociate himself from any responsibility for everything that's followed, which, of course, is Fulbright's as well, and they want to prove that they were misled, and had they known at the time the facts of the Tonkin Gulf situation, they never would have supported the resolution and hence would not in any way be responsible for the escalation in military operations out there that has occurred since then.
Mm-hmm.
And if he can't hang it on one thing and you destroy the case on that, he pops up two or three places elsewhere with different arguments.
Now, what is the accuracy of McCarthy's statement that's quoted all last night on television that we invaded the territory?
Absolutely false, Mr. President. That's why that was a good thing to hang the release of my statement on, because my statement covers that point very, very clearly and precisely. And at the time that we were in the Gulf in August 64, North Vietnam had not claimed territorial waters beyond 3 miles. Neither then nor now do we recognize territorial waters beyond 3 miles. Nor have other communist nations in certain cases claimed beyond 3 miles, and it's not right to say we should have expected that they would claim beyond 3 miles. Cuba, Poland, Yugoslavia, if I recall, claim less than 12 miles. On the 1st of September 1964, 2 or 3 weeks after the Tonkin Gulf incident, North Vietnam, for the first time that we've been able to find, claimed beyond 3 miles. They claimed 12 miles. All of this was very clearly laid out in my statement. McCarthy came in after the beginning of the hearing. He didn't read the statement. He didn't listen to the testimony. He had no basis whatsoever for making that statement. After lunch, when I left you and went back, and I told the committee that I had instructed the Pentagon to release my statement because of the statement that one of the members of the committee had made in UPI 109, a copy of which I had with me. They were shocked at what McCarthy had said.
Mm-hmm.
And now that his statement isn't running this morning because, of course, the release of our statement that killed it. Then Fulbright got mad as hell later in the day at the fact that I had released my statement, and they didn't have anything to rebut it or counter it with, and he tried to poison the press last night and did get to some of them, being very critical of my having unilaterally released the statement. But I think we got good press coverage. The wires last night were full of it, and the Post and the Times and the Sun this morning give it good play.
I would make a point to be sure with some friend of yours on the Post and the Times, too, that you were forced to this when a man comes out, starts quoting parts of your testimony, and you had no alternative after that, and then you don't want to get mixed up in campaign one way or the other either. And,
I did get the Post to run that specific statement. It runs at the end of Warren Unna's article.
That's good. That's what they're doing.
And I sold it to the Times, but they didn't run it.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. You got any feeling on this Utah conference? Have you been following the cables and his visits around to Great Britain?
And I just don't have any feeling on it, Mr. President. Yesterday and the day before, I just didn't spend any time on anything but this thing, and I don't have any suggestion to you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Dane and you agreed to in the way of a communique. I heard him mention it.
Yeah, it just says nothing. We had a friendly visit, and we assured him of our desire for peace, and he assured us of his continued...
Frankly, that's all I would do. I'd get it off my calendar as fast as I could and just be pleasant and leave no bad taste if you can.
Good.
Not pay any attention to it. One other point, if I may mention it very quickly. Buzz Wheeler doesn't look very well. You know, he had that heart attack about 8 months ago. He's just gone through a hell of a period here with me on three committees of testimony. He's been working Sundays the last 3 weeks. If I understood you correctly yesterday, you plan to be in Austin Tuesday morning next week. If I would suggest that neither you nor he try to get back here for meetings on Tuesday, that he come in Wednesday morning. This has two advantages from his point of view, Mr. President. One, it'll give him a little more time to be a little more leisurely with Westmoreland. Mother's out there in Thailand, has been for some time. He hasn't seen her. He really ought to spend a couple hours with her.
Sure,
and three, it'll give him a few hours of rest.
Sure, I would insist on that. He's going in one of our planes where he'd be comfortable.
But it's a tough trip. It'll be tough emotionally for him out there, too. He's stepping into a can of worms. So on that basis, I'll tell him to be back Wednesday morning.
Sure, that's good. Thank you, Lou.
Thank you.